Committee on State and Federal Affairs, 40 minutes late, which is not bad for this time of year, I guess. Senate Bill 899, we will hold over till tomorrow. There's some work we're going to try to get done on it. Going to open a work session on House Bill 2157B.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2157 comes to you from, at the request of Governor Ted Kulongowski. We have several people here that have worked very hard on the bill, including Representative Cameron, Helly Rohde from the Department of Justice, Kevin Neely, and Andrea Meyer, who has still, I believe, some issues with the bill. What the bill does is sets forth a policy for the state of Oregon for the use of fingerprints, and it applies to authorized agencies, means state government is defined in ORS 174-111, and the Oregon State Bar. Authorized agency does not include the Oregon State Lottery Commission or the Criminal Justice Agency. They have their own process and procedures for this, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. You have the B-21 amendments in front of you. One of the things they do is the bill has general provisions as it relates to all subject agencies, authorized agencies, and it would, looking at page 1 of the amendment, subject individual means a person from whom an authorized agency may require fingerprints pursuant to statute for the purposes of enabling authorized agency to request a state or nationwide criminal records check. And in the B version of the bill, it was more specific in that. What we've done is the amendments go more general, but what they have done, they've gone into individual statutes as it relates to particular agencies and, shall we say, have customized those requirements. And that's through the B and Gross version and the B-21 amendment from the committee. Okay. Chairman of the committee, you may want to bring up, especially Representative Cameron and Kevin Neely and Helly Rohde and Andrea Myers for further discussion on the amendments and the bill.
Why don't we have Representative Cameron come up first and Kevin Neely together, the two of them, please. And Helly Rohde, too, would be fine. Yeah. Representative Berger, did you want to come up, too, on this part?
I'm just here to lend...
Prop me up.
Yeah.
More support.
I think
Representative
Cameron.
Support for additional amendments.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, help us. Good morning, members of the committee. Chair Krieger, thank you. I'll be real brief, as the thickness of my folder explains how much this bill's already been talked about and the process that it's gone through, but. All along the way, there's been work groups involved in this bill. The history is I was sitting on two different committees where I was hearing, I think it was about six different fingerprinting bills, and said, whoa, what's going on? So this is trying to bring a process together. Obviously, the process is to... is general as to if a agency is going to gain authorization on how to get fingerprinting, they need to follow a process that has been defined in this bill. And I think that's the real good thing is that there's a process here. One of the highlights of that process is that fingerprint cards were going everywhere when we got here. In the process, they will now stop at the state police. They will destroy those instead of going back to various agencies, which we won't know what happens to them. There was a general effort to make the bill broad and allow agencies by rule to come under the bill at one point, and since then we've gone back the other direction and asked agencies to narrow down those rules in the bill so that they will we will know that not everybody in the agency is being fingerprinted. There are some issues still that need to be corrected, I believe, with the university system in particular. So with that, I'll turn it over to Kevin if you have anything to say or any questions.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Kevin Neely representing Oregon Attorney General Hardy Myers and the Department of Justice. I think that both Mr. Taylor and Representative Cameron have done a nice job of summarizing what this bill does. I think that what I would add is, one, for those of you that haven't run across this bill in the past, and I think almost everybody in this building has by now, at least they all seem to have their fingerprints on it, if you'll excuse the expression. That being said, it's important to remember that in order to conduct a federal FBI background check, fingerprint check, as is described in this bill, an agency has to be explicitly mentioned in state law. And so that's really the impetus for this bill and what we're trying to accomplish. We believe that it's an important public safety piece for these agencies to be able to go out and do these background checks, probably now more than ever. What we've done is described by Mr. Taylor and Representative Cameron in the B-21 amendments is we have made an effort to work closely with the ACLU to try to find some middle ground. I'm not sure we've gotten there, but we're certainly closer to the middle than we were with the B engrossed version of the bill. Now, what this does, as described, is really go agency by agency and try to provide for each of those agencies an explicit set of circumstances under which a person could become a subject individual to actually be fingerprinted and checked. Now, again, this doesn't mean every one of those people will be fingerprinted and checked. There is a fee that needs to be paid to do that, so there's already an economic barrier in some instances. And again, agencies have discretion. They're, we believe, not likely. In fact, I can only speak for the Attorney General's Office and the Department of Justice, who's included in this bill. We've only estimated that we're going to increase the number of background checks that we do by maybe 25 or 30 individuals a biennium. Not a huge increase. We have discretion, as does every agency, to do this when we feel the position merits that extra check to ensure that the public that we serve is safe. And again, one of the challenges when you do that is you come up with some fairly broad language. We have tried as best as possible, and I would add, Ms. Rohde sitting next to me, an attorney with our department, has spent, I can't frankly imagine how many hours she spent on this bill, but a huge amount of time working with many of the agencies who are represented behind me to try and craft some language that gives us the flexibility to go out and get background checks on those employees who most need it, and narrow it down to try to exclude those employees that we clearly don't need to be engaging in background checks on. Have we scooped in some people that we probably shouldn't have scooped in or don't aren't going to need background checks? Yes. But when you're trying to define position by position, that's going to happen, and we're going to need the agencies to use their discretion to identify which employees are going to need that check and which aren't. And we're confident that the agencies will be able to do that prudently. There's also a rulemaking process and an appeals process that occurs as a result of this bill. I think as Representative Cameron mentioned earlier, one of the important components of this bill is that it does, to some extent, streamline the process throughout the state. And it will allow folks to, again, know what they're getting into when they're applying for these jobs or when they're getting a background check done and have some sort of reasonable recourse. We are going to need to make some small modifications when we get to the other side, if you're willing to move this bill out today. Those include an adjustment looking at some of the immunity provisions that are in here. We know the trial attorneys disagree with where we're at least the B-21s. We thought we'd gotten close in the B engrossed version of the bill. Unfortunately, it shifts a little bit between the B engrossed and the A-20 amendments, which we thought we were going to be able to move forward on. We weren't. In there, we had what we thought was the right fix. It didn't get transferred into the B-21s. We'll make sure that happens. I think that, again, we can come to middle ground there. Additionally, as Representative Cameron stated, the other significant policy change we know we're going to need to address in the other chamber is the ACLU does have significant concerns with the ability to background check faculty in the Oregon University system. I suspect the faculty will also have concerns with that. We haven't heard from them yet. But we are going to address that. We're going to limit the scope of the university system to what we perceive to be mainly those folks who are working directly in residence halls. That's our goal there, because obviously those folks 24 hours a day are working directly with students. We want to be sure that we have that capability. Again, the piece I'd leave you with, and I'd open the door for questions, is this is a bill that gives agencies the discretion to better protect the public we serve. It is absolutely discretionary. And again, the agencies at the end of the day are accountable if they make any errors that are their fault. All of those factors are built into this bill, and it has been an incredibly arduous process to try to meet the needs of all those folks who have been involved. With that, I'd I'd ask if you have any questions, and I have Hella here to answer any of the hard questions that.
Okay, committee members, do you have any questions? Reverend McPherson, don't let me down.
Well,
yeah, I won't, Mr. Chair. I guess what would be helpful to me would be to kind of get reoriented, since it's been a few weeks since I've seen the bill, and I probably among a host of legislators who've had to get oriented to it. But how do the B-21s that we have here in front of us, how do they relate to the structure of the bill, which is, as I recall, had some general provisions? There's a sort of a general set of roadmap rules, and then there were a lot of sort of individual sections that dealt with particular agencies. Just kind of orient me to how these things fit together.
Sure. Mr. Chair, Representative McPherson, the bottom line is the general roadmap has been tossed out the window. What we've done is we have gone and segmented this bill agency by agency. So if you are the Department of Justice, you have to meet a certain single standard. As you noted, the bill in its previous iteration, the most recent previous iteration, had a two-part test. One, agencies had to meet basic guidelines. Those basic guidelines are on the very top of the Be Engrossed Bill, page 2. There are 8 basic guidelines. That has been taken out in the B-21s, and we have instead gone agency by agency, worked with the agency, worked with the ACLU, worked with other interested parties to try to identify specific guidelines for specific agencies. And so I think as you look at the Be Engrossed version of the bill and compare it or add in the B-21 amendments, what you'll find is as you get to the agency subsections or sections of the bill, you'll find more explicit language related to the agency, and we have taken out the blanket language establishing what a subject individual is that's at the beginning of the Be Engrossed version. I'm sorry if that's a long answer to an easy question, but does that help at all?
It helps. It's going to just take a little further study, I think, here to understand then just how it doesn't look like the B-21s are a full gut and stuff of the whole of the bill.
No.
And so it's going to take a little piecing together to see just how they fit together. And I at least had a sense from the consideration of this bill earlier in, I think, another committee, just how it flowed, and I'm having a little trouble getting to that. But now, but as I understand it, the bill is going to, we're going to see another iteration of this amendment, if I'm just tracking what you said earlier, is that right?
I'm sorry.
We were expecting another round of revisions on the amendment,
well,
is that right?
Mr. Chair, Representative McPherson, I think that what we're going to ask you to do today is get this bill over the other side. I think that what we have left to do on this bill is relatively minor, and that we have, in fact, taken great strides in addressing some of the questions that are out there. I'm not going to tell you that the ACLU is satisfied with this bill. I'm not sure that we could make a bill that completely satisfies the ACLU, and I'll let Ms. Meyer talk to you about that if you are so inclined. But we have endeavored as best we can to take this bill and to move into it very explicit language in our estimation that affects each of the individual agencies that will be included in the bill at the end of the day. So I think a good example, if you go to, for example, in the B-21 amendments, you can just pick any section. I see that Section 70 is the Oregon Student Assistance Commission, and that's on page 15. And rather than giving the Oregon Student Assistance Commission a blanket authority in their own individual section, what we've done is identified a couple of areas in which OSAC ought to be able to have this authority. In Section 2, it says if they're working in a position which provides direct access to essentially minors, or if they're working on their IT systems, or in which the person has access to a disclosure which is prohibited by state or federal laws, or payroll. So those are the four times that the four types of positions that OSAC could use fingerprinting for. Again, that may differ in section number 71, may differ in other sections based on the agency's needs.
Representative McPherson, and I think if you look at the B engrossed bill, to go along with Mr. Neely's point, and you look at page 54, section 70, and you see where the Oregon Student Assistance Commission was before, it was very general. And if you look at the amendments on page 15 that he was just referring to, you can see how we've narrowed it down to those particular positions. So the bill that was originally in front of the committee that you sat on earlier, one of the concerns was in section 2 of the bill, that just the general parameters of allowing an agency just to come in here and then by rule them narrowing it down. That was a concern. So rather than waiting for them to come by rule, we've tried to take each one of those agencies with the input of the ACLU. I have a list from Andrea over agencies that they were saying were still too broad. So getting with those agencies and asking them to narrow them down. That's pretty much the general direction change in the bill, taking out the overarching rulemaking process and saying narrow it down into the bill. So there's a good example, I think, section 70 in both the B engrossed and the amendments.
Mr. Chair, if I could, that's very helpful. I'm assuming that there are some common themes that run throughout the rules that apply to each of the agencies, and I would be looking for that because it seems to me we shouldn't be making different policy choices for agency A than we are for agency L. And one of the consequences of organizing the bill the way it is, and I'm not suggesting that we should go back and try to reorganize it now after all the work that's been done, but are there, you know, is it IT functions and payroll functions and sort of residential access to people who are under state supervision or care? Are those the themes that we could draw from?
It could be all of the above that you just mentioned, and I think if you go back to the B engrossed bill in section 2, page 2, you can see where we tried to come up with some of those categories. When we were taking the broader approach, you know, subject to licensing certification on line 1, has access or deals with confidential information on line. We're trying to say these are the general areas that people could be subject to fingerprinting by rule. So still considering some of those areas, there was some more, but we couldn't come up with broad enough categories. For example, when we got into let's say the military, ammunition and those types of things, they had to come up with their own language, because if we left it broad, it would allow other people to come in there that shouldn't be in there, and if it wasn't broad enough, we would exclude some people that needed to be in there in various agencies. So there's some general guidelines there in the B engrossed, and I think Department of Justice came up with 3 or 4 other lists that they gave to agencies to help give them some guidelines to narrow theirs down.
Just to follow up, if I'm understanding, then those general standards that were in the old Section 2 of the bill, they're gone, and now those principles, but those principles have still been applied generally, but in a more sort of agency-specific manner in the B-21s.
That'd be correct. And I use an example on line 11, has access or works with chemicals. Well, is that a janitor that has bleach access? Yeah. Right? That wouldn't apply to somebody who's a janitor, but yet in this terms, you would an agency try to stretch that? So now the agency has to come back and say, you know, we're going to apply it to janitors, which they're not in here. Except for, I think, the university system still could.
Okay. I hope there's anything more that I could,
does that help?
I could ask that's useful.
Representative Forrest?
Thank you. And I think just following up on Representative McPherson's thought, Mr. Neely, as I see it, both in the bill and as in the B-21s, the language pertaining to the specific agencies is, says may require, therefore permissive, and then you have some narrower focus on the areas in which they would have the discretion, may require these types of fingerprint processes. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Flores, that's absolutely correct. It's a, again, there's two barriers here. One is the barrier in the language that says these are the only people you can fingerprint, and then within that, of course, there's the discretion of the agency, so they can narrow it down even further from what the bill allows. And if I could add one thing, and I think this might help you, Mr. Representative McPherson, it's in, if you look at Section 9 in the B-21s, that's the section that covers the Department of Administrative Services. The Department of Administrative Services has, without a doubt, the broadest flexibility in getting fingerprint checks. That the list of reasons under DAS is the list essentially that we sent out to every agency and said, pick the pieces here that you most need, and we're going to try and put consistent language throughout the statutes to try to ensure, as you were hoping for, some degree of uniformity. Now, it is modified. For example, for the Oregon Student Assistance Commission, there was one section that talked about medical records and dental records. Well, they don't happen to have any access to medical and dental records, at least, well, they might, but we took that out because, again, that was one of the requests that was made by the ACLU. And so we have tried to come up with some very consistent language, and Hella is the architect of this language, but we found that give them 15, 10 options, let them pick two or three, let agencies pick two or three that really are important to their agency, and hopefully that will cover it for them, with the exception of DAS, who, as I said, pick them all.
Okay. Thank you, and perhaps by way of just further refreshing, the staff major summary in the background indicates that the state police and the FBI have worked together to draft this legislation that meets requirements of those concerns. Would it be helpful for us to know what the concerns are that were addressed as they work together to find some common ground?
I'm going to turn that. Hella, I don't know if that's a question that you can answer. I'm not sure.
With the state police and the FBI, excuse me.
Yes. Let's see. The measures conflicted earlier legislation in prior sessions. The measures conflicted with FBI requirements, and during the 04-05 interim, Oregon State Police worked with FBI, law enforcement organizations, state agencies, and interest groups to draft legislation that meets requirements and needs of those concerns. So some of the areas that were of concern and have been addressed.
Okay. Mr. Chair, Representative Flores, Hella Rohde from DOJ. The main issue there was that some of the statutes that were in effect did not meet FBI requirements, and therefore the agencies that intended to have fingerprinting authority didn't actually have it because the FBI would not approve the language. So the statute for some agencies had to be, their statutory language had to be amended so that it did meet the federal requirements. And as Mr. Neely stated at first, the each agency that has federal fingerprinting authority has to have a specific statute with specific language in it to meet those requirements. And I think that's what they're talking about there.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions? Okay, thank you. Andrew Meyer, you want to come up, please?
I get to come up alone, or that I couldn't join them.
I'll stay here with you.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, Andrea Meyer, Legislative Director for the ACLU of Oregon. Well, I want to say there are some things we like about this bill and some things that just make me very queasy. And I do appreciate the work that's been done. We have worked hard to try to narrow it. I just want to go back a little. Hopefully this will kind of readdress some of your questions. This Section 2 is the section that provides the fitness. It's the catch-all for everyone. Here's what you must do if you're going to obtain fingerprints and do these background checks. And that includes the divisions and the agencies must make a fitness determination. That language is still in Section 2. That's important language that ensures that once they get the criminal history, they're taking a look and putting it into context and not simply saying because you have a criminal history, you cannot be employed. So that part of Section 2 is still there. What we approached the ACLU one in the beginning, members, was that each agency should come in a very narrow circumstances, set forth who they wanted to have fingerprints. When you had this bill before you in the judiciary at the end, we'd taken the other approach, which was the verbiage in Section 2 that's now being removed. In other words, each agency had broad authority in their own section that Representative Cameron pointed out to you, and we tried to narrow it somewhat in Section 2. That didn't work real well for folks, which is why we're back here with the other approach. The other approach is that each agency must put forward its more narrowed language fixed to its type of use and needs, which can't necessarily be uniformly done in Section 2. Does that hopefully give some remind you or refresh about the two different options you could take in this bill, which is sort of catch-all language as to who would be qualified or agency-by-agency language? One of the questions we've had, however, and this is probably gets to why we're really very queasy, is that while we do appreciate the continued narrowing of the language for each agency and department that's included, we're left with one large question that no one's been able to answer for us, which is to give us a sense of the numbers that we are really speaking of, not the numbers of people that they will likely do right now because of the limitations that Mr. Neely spoke to, resources and needs. Not that, but just the number that they could, or percentage. And I think that's a reasonable request. I guess we'd like to know, are we talking about basically 20% of an agency or 90% that would be eligible? Are we talking about 10,000 new folks eligible potentially or 100,000? Because that's where we start getting nervous as this becomes larger and larger, and towards the end of the session, all these agencies and departments have joined and glommed on to this, and we had hoped that they would appear in front of you and make their case. And that's the process that makes us very queasy because it hasn't. And we just don't know the percentages or numbers or even a ballpark, which I would think the agencies and departments might have a sense of because they've had to pick from this list. And they've had to say, and as such, I think they've had to have a sense of what types of employees they wanted to catch in to be able to do this. And I would think they'd be able to say that's 20% of our workforce or 200 in number. And maybe we can get that question over on the Senate side better answered from the agencies and departments. Yeah, and it's important for us to get in the record our concerns, our continued concerns that the Oregon Lottery Commission is excluded. Let me be clear, they have the authority to do fingerprints with the FBI. It's not that that we object to, but apparently in looking at their authority, they don't necessarily have the fitness determination criteria that is so crucial that everyone else has. And by that I mean when you look at someone and they have a criminal history of a trespass 25 years ago, that may not be relevant to their getting their employment. And the agencies and departments must do a fitness determination. And it appears that the Lottery Commission does not have that, and as such it's entirely up to them as to whether the person will be employed or not. There are undoubtedly some criminal histories where, no, that's enough, you're not employable under in light of your criminal history. But the agencies have to go through a fitness determination, and we're concerned that they don't, and they do large numbers of people. And I'm not still clear why they can't, that they wouldn't embrace making that fitness determination and having that process to ensure that some people would be employed and some people wouldn't. I guess the other thing is, yes, we do have concerns with Section 71, which is page 16, which is the Oregon University System. You've already heard discussion that that's intended to be fixed over on the Senate side, because if that is in there, we will oppose that. It should not be sweeping in professors and faculty as such. With that, Chair, I appreciate the time, and I'd be happy to try to address any questions, either help clarify or confuse the system even more.
Representative Berger, do you want to come up, please? If you wanted to testify, go ahead, or answer questions either.
I hesitate to answer questions on this particular amendment because I haven't read it. What I'd like to do is reiterate for this committee. This original bill was brought to the General Government Committee, which I chair. I asked for it because in the Health and Human Services Committee, there were certain fingerprinting pieces. There was an omnibus piece, which is what this started with. And we brought them together in a single committee, and we formed the first work group out of our committee. This bill has been worked to death. The important thing to remember is how critical it is. Yes, there is some new ground in here, But as an omnibus, it is very well constructed. We have to get started down this road. Ms. Meyer talks about we don't know the numbers. That's because we haven't been here before. We are living in a new world where our obligations reach way beyond the borders of Oregon in protecting the public for the people that come in and do the public's business. You have to start drawing lines and describing who those critical people are at some point. This is an important and really good first step in that effort. Keep in mind, we don't know the numbers because we haven't been here before. But if we don't get started now, we risk things like the Dr. Patel scandal, folks coming into our system that we don't know about. We actually excluded, we started out on this thing even looking at local government. We immediately realized that was bigger. We have narrowed and narrowed and narrowed. Please move this bill onto the Senate, correct the university system fix, but let's not wait two more years before we get an omnibus fingerprinting system going for the state. It's critical to protecting the public.
Okay. Any questions?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I spoke to Kevin Neely before the meeting, and one of the things I can do with him is work between now when the bill gets to the Senate to take care of some of those minor amendments on the liability issue and the university system. As to Ms. Meyer's issue about numbers, maybe one of the things that we could consider is requiring the Department of Justice report back to the Interim Judiciary Committee before the close of the interim session on numbers. My sense is that given where we are on July 11th and probably at most a week of hearing and substantive bills, it may be very difficult for agencies to come up with the numbers in a short period of time.
Mm-hmm. Chair Krieger, if I may, Patricia Whitfield from the State Police is on vacation, but just because this question has come up, having a conversation with the State Police this morning, I believe the number that we said, because they're the ones that are going to have to produce these or handle all these fingerprints, currently 50,000 a year FBI background checks, is that correct, what we said?
Yeah.
And they estimate through an extreme scientific survey, I'm sure, in contacting all the departments that are brought in by this bill, an estimated 20,000 increase. So that's what their scientific numbers would be. And as Chair Berger said, we will know after we get going how many that is. But that's what their scientific statistical research says.
Chair Krieger, Mr. Taylor, Representative Karen. Yeah, they asked the agencies to get a gist of what numbers they intended, and I just want to be clear what our question is not just who they're going to take advantage of right now and immediately, but you're putting something into law for future. And what kind of percentages with DAS? It's a huge department, as I understand, and almost everyone, they've got such broad language. Does that mean about 80, 90% or 100% of the folks that they employ? Or is it not who they intend to, but who they could under this bill? I think it's fair to get a sense, and I, you know, appreciate that it may not be done instantly, but we would certainly like this committee and the Judiciary Committee during the interim to really stay apprised as to who's eligible, not just who's being fingerprinted.
Okay. Any further questions for Ms. Flores?
Thank you for Ms. Meyer. And I do appreciate Representative Berger's background perspective as this has moved forward, because I think that it is good to keep in mind that this is new charted ground, and we haven't been in this particular culture, per se, before. So in that regard, Ms. Meyer, the concern with the numbers, you obviously agree that there is some need to check backgrounds on individuals who do have access to whether it's technology or payroll or individuals in sensitive areas. Do you not?
Well, Chair Krieger, Representative Flores, I think I testified originally in the substantive committees that have heard this and more than once. I mean, ACLU historically always has deep reservations about the use of fingerprints for people who've not committed crimes for non-criminal justice purposes, which this is. I mean, when we talk about fingerprints and that type of information, historically we've always talked about someone who's been arrested. We're using them for non-criminal purposes. And so we're always very concerned when the government starts taking people's fingerprints. One of the provisions we've had put on in the past and it's being expanded, one of the things we like about this bill is the clear enunciation that these cannot be retained. When the state was doing, agencies and other folks like the Oregon State Bar were doing fingerprints that were statewide only, the statute was silent on what happened to the fingerprints. And simply because the report of no criminal history came back on the fingerprint card, they were going to the Oregon State Bar and being put in individuals' files because that's where they put no report. So we're fixing it here. But the retention and those other concerns we have about databases and FBI obtaining and potentially keeping fingerprints always gives us a great deal of concern. We obviously have been and worked with this bill. And as Representative Cameron pointed out, I did a memo, and there were a number of agencies and areas that we didn't raise objections to in terms of licensing. But we're really very troubled, and we're troubled by the expansion, and we want this legislature, as previous ones have done, to really insist on some narrowing and really checking. Otherwise, we might as well do fingerprints on everyone. And if that's the policy decision, then we should make that policy decision. But if we're not going to, then we really need to have some checks and balances to ensure that there's a real reason. And other safeguards, like the fitness determinations. I mean, this is leaving up to agencies to make hiring determinations, and there may be criminal histories that, as I said, trespass of 20, 25 years ago that is really irrelevant to their ability to do the job and to safely do the job. And we don't want to create a system where if you've got any criminal history in your background, you're unemployable. And so that's one of the other things we want to guard against is ensuring that there's real nexus and fitness determinations and care taken when we're getting very important information about people, some of which may not be relevant to their ability to do the job, others which may be.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Motion on the bill.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the B-21 amendment to House Bill 2157.
Representative Boquist has moved the B-21 amendments to House Bill 2157B. Any objections?
I'd like to put a discussion. It won't be an objection, okay. So we can move them into the bill, but it may be a comment that's more appropriate to the bill as a whole. But my comment is this. I don't like how this bill has evolved. I'm going to support the amendment, and I'll support the bill, but my beef with it is that it is a balkanized approach to what should have broad public policy issues. And I look at the B-21 amendments, and, you know, the policy choices about who's subject to fingerprinting look incoherent to me. If you work at the Department of Administrative Services, if you work in the mail room or in a personnel function, you're subject to fingerprinting. I don't see that as a standard. I looked at DOJ, for example, and there it's stated as access to confidential information is defined as confidential under state or federal laws with some other, you know, IT kinds of functions. It looks like it's kind of a hodgepodge of what each agency has decided they think are the areas of sensitivity, and I would be a lot more satisfied about my support for this bill if we had a well-defined policy that spanned across agencies rather than kind of balkanized, kind of taking each agency's wish list. So, as I say, I don't want to thwart all the good work that's been done by people to try to get to the where they are, but it is it's a work in progress in my view.
Any further comments? Amendments are adopted.
Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 2157 to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Boquist has moved House Bill 2157 with the -21 amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Just one comment, Mr. Chair. I don't have a problem with Section 71 in the Oregon University system. It looks fine to me, so I might want to change it.
The only comment I support Representative Boquist, I have trouble understanding why we'd object to having professors who deal with a lot of young people, and I know a lot of them are 18 and older, but nonetheless, that we would have a background, that there would be some concern about having a background check on that.
I have to echo the same. I see no reason for them to be exempt.
Yeah, and follow, Mr. Chair, in my district, we've got some sexual abuse issues that are going on right now that would have been resolved with this, where there was a criminal background, that we would not be in the pickle we're in right now. So.
Okay. I'll call the roll, please.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Boquist?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative McPherson?
Aye.
Aye. House Bill 2157 has amended and moves the floor to do pass. And Representative Cameron, will you call, carry the bill, please?
Yes, ma'am.
Colizio. Okay. Close the work session on that. And have bill introduction.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move that LC 3734 pertaining to eminent domain be entered as a committee bill.
Okay, Representative Boquist has moved the LC draft 3734 regarding eminent domain be adopted as committee bill. Any objections? Adopted. Close the work session and committee is adjourned.